Today we're diving into how design students at Parsons are using structured analytic techniques to analyze possible futures.
You know, structured analytic techniques are tools that help us think, really think systematically about the future.
And how do these tools work?
They help break down complex problems. They let us explore different possibilities and uncover potential risks or opportunity.
And the Parsons students, what did they focus on?
They looked at four key areas that'll likely shape, you know, the next 50 years: cities, education, fashion, and work.
Let's start with the future of cities.
Sure. The students looked at a future where corporations primarily own and manage entire cities.
So then who would even have access to those spaces, to the cities, in that type of future?
Well, that's exactly the question. They imagined this scenario set in 2060. They called it the subscription city.
What is that, a subscription city?
Imagine a city where you need a subscription, you know, like you have for streaming services, but for everything, to access different neighborhoods, transportation, even healthcare.
So everything would be behind a paywall.
Essentially, yeah. And that's where the story of Mira comes in.
Okay, who is Mira?
Mira is denied access to certain parts of the city simply because she forgot to renew her subscription.
Wow.
This highlights how economic stratification could become even more pronounced in a city run by corporations.
It makes you think about all the things we take for granted.
Absolutely. And it gets even more interesting. They also imagined the last public library in the year 2075 being auctioned off.
What does that, the library, represent in this future?
The disappearance of truly public spaces. Places that aren't owned or controlled by corporations.
So how do the students analyze this future, this subscription city with no public spaces? What techniques do they use?
They used what's called outside-in thinking.
What is that?
It means considering the perspectives of everyone involved. Corporations, residents, policymakers. They also use signposts of change.
Signposts of change.
It's about identifying trends that suggest we may already be headed in that direction. Things like the rise of gated communities or corporate-owned smart cities.
So using those techniques, what fragilities did they uncover in that system?
Several. A big one is the disappearance of what we call third places.
Third places, what are those?
Places that are neither home nor work. Parks, libraries, community centers. Losing these places could lead to social fragmentation.
It makes sense. Those are the places where people come together.
Exactly. And another fragility they found, economic exclusion could become even more severe.
In what way?
Well, if access to necessities is tied to subscriptions, those who can't afford them would be left behind.
And what about things like democratic governance in a city owned by corporations? Would that even exist?
Well, that raises concerns about accountability. Would corporations prioritize the public interest or their own?
So how do we address these issues? Is there anything we can do?
The students believe we need strategic design interventions.
What does that look like in this case?
It means rethinking how we govern cities. We need to find ways to balance corporate efficiency with public accountability and equitable access.
Does that mean more regulations?
It could involve things like policies that protect public spaces and regulate private development to ensure cities remain inclusive and democratic.
Moving on from cities, the Parsons students also analyzed the future of education, didn't they?
They did, specifically the implications of AI-driven personalized learning.
How did they see that unfolding?
They envision a future where AI tutors replace traditional schools.
So everyone would have their own personal AI teacher.
Yeah, providing personalized learning experiences tailored to each student's interests and career goals.
That sounds pretty efficient.
It does, but the students explored potential downsides too.
Such as?
They created a story about Theo, a 14-year-old living in 2050. He excels in biotechnology thanks to his AI tutor, but struggles with critical thinking outside of his specialized field.
So even though his education is personalized, it might be too narrow?
Exactly. He has difficulty collaborating, engaging in broader discussions because his education has been so focused.
So it lacks that social collaborative aspect.
Right. AI-driven education could hinder developing essential skills learned through social interaction, collaboration, empathy, critical thinking.
Do they look at any other potential downsides?
Oh, yeah. They also imagined this scenario called corporate curriculum set in 2075.
What is that?
In this future, corporations own the most advanced AI learning systems.
So they control the education system?
In a way, yeah. This raises the issue of corporate control over knowledge. They could control what information is deemed valuable and shape students' worldviews, potentially limiting access to a broader range of knowledge.
So how did the students analyze this possible future of education?
Well, they used something called what-if analysis to explore the implications of fully individualized AI learning. They also used devil's advocacy.
Devil's advocate.
It means challenging assumptions. They used it to challenge the assumption that AI-driven education is inherently superior.
To see it from the other side.
Yeah, this forced them to consider potential drawbacks and unintended consequences. And through these techniques, they identified several fragilities.
Like what?
The potential loss of social learning is a big one. Another is the risk of a market-driven knowledge system where education focuses solely on job readiness and economic productivity, potentially neglecting the humanities and arts.
And what about the corporate control? Did they find any issues with that?
The fact that corporations could control these systems could lead to a lack of diversity in thought and a narrowing of perspective.
So how do we prevent these negative outcomes?
The students proposed a hybrid approach to education, one where AI tools support human educators rather than replacing them.
So a mix of both.
Exactly. Such a model could leverage the benefits of AI while preserving the value of social interaction and critical thinking.
Did they have any other suggestions?
They suggested developing decentralized accreditation systems to prevent a few corporations from monopolizing knowledge. This would allow for a more diverse and equitable educational landscape.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, what about fashion? How did they see AI impacting that industry?
Their analysis focused on the potential for AI to create hyper-personalized clothing.
Hyper-personalized, what does that mean?
Tailoring designs to individual preferences, potentially eliminating traditional fashion brands and mass production.
So you'd get clothes designed specifically for you?
Yeah. This could lead to more sustainability and less waste, but the students also considered the downsides.
Okay, what did they find?
Imagine your AI fashion assistant generating a new outfit for you every morning.
That does sound convenient.
It does, but then consider Amara's experience in 2075.
Who's Amara?
Though her clothes are unique and personalized, she feels a sense of uniformity. Everyone's clothing is so optimized that individual expression seems to have vanished.
So even though it's personalized, it might not be truly unique.
Right, it's an interesting paradox. The students also explored a scenario where AI-generated fashion leads to the disappearance of traditional craftsmanship.
So we could lose those handmade skills and techniques?
Potentially, yeah. They envision the emergence of underground designers in 2060 who rebel against AI dominance by making clothes by hand. They see this as a way to preserve cultural heritage.
To keep those traditions alive.
Exactly. This scenario highlights the potential loss of cultural diversity and the artistry embedded in traditional craftsmanship.
What techniques did they use to analyze this future of fashion?
They employed alternative futures analysis, where they explored various pathways, one where AI dominates, another where decentralized production empowers independent designers, and a third where underground movements resist the homogenization of style.
So they looked at a range of possibilities, not just one outcome.
Yeah. This allowed them to identify potential fragilities within each scenario.
What were some of those fragilities?
One is the loss of cultural craftsmanship. As AI prioritizes efficiency and mass customization, traditional techniques and cultural heritage embedded in textiles and designs could be lost.
So we could lose that cultural connection to clothing.
It's a possibility. Another concern is algorithmic fashion monopolies.
What are those?
If a few companies control the AI systems that design and produce clothing, they could dictate trends and limit choices.
It sounds like that could exacerbate existing inequalities.
It could. While the wealthy might afford highly personalized AI-designed clothing, others could be relegated to generic mass-produced styles, further dividing society.
So how do we prevent that?
The students' work highlights the importance of finding ways to ensure that AI enhances rather than replaces human creativity. They propose developing open-source AI fashion tools.
Open-source, so anyone could use them.
Yeah, this would empower independent designers and creators and allow for a more diverse and democratic fashion landscape.
That sounds like a good step.
They also suggest creating digital archives of traditional textiles and techniques to preserve cultural heritage.
To make sure those skills and designs aren't lost.
Exactly. Finally, the students explored the future of work, an area already being impacted by automation and AI.
In what ways?
They focused on a future where 80% of jobs are automated, leading to significant shifts in how we think about work, income, and leisure.
So most jobs would be done by machines.
Yeah. One scenario they explored is the rise of the productivity police in 2065.
The productivity police? What's that?
In this future, AI systems monitor workers' every move, tracking their efficiency and productivity. Those who fail to meet the standards set by these AI systems risk losing their work privileges.
Wow. So there's a lot of pressure to perform.
Definitely. The students also envisioned the homemaker program in 2075, where people are paid by the government to be full-time homemakers.
So being a homemaker would be a paid job.
Exactly. While this might sound appealing to some, it raises questions about agency and choice. Who decides who gets to be a homemaker and who has to work in those AI-managed environments?
It brings up a lot of interesting questions about the nature of work itself.
Absolutely. So to analyze this future of work, the students used signposts of change to identify trends such as remote work, AI-driven automation, and government stipend programs.
To see where things might be headed.
Yeah. They also employed outside-in thinking to understand the perspectives of workers, corporations, and policymakers.
To get a more holistic view?
Right. This helped them develop a more nuanced understanding of how these forces might interact and shape the future of work. Their analysis uncovered several fragilities within this potential future of work.
What were some of the things they found?
One major concern is the potential for pervasive workplace surveillance.
What do you mean?
With AI systems managing work, people could face constant monitoring and evaluation.
That doesn't sound good.
It could erode privacy and autonomy.
So it's not just about job losses, it's about how those jobs are structured.
Exactly. Another fragility is stagnant social mobility.
How so?
If government stipends become the primary source of income for a large portion of the population, how will people advance and find meaning?
It's like we're redefining what work even means.
Right. And then there's the potential for gendered labor divides to reemerge.
That sounds like a step backward.
The homemaker program scenario, remember that one?
Yeah, where people are paid to be homemakers.
It illustrates how societal pressures and economic structures could reinforce traditional gender roles.
Even with all this technology, we could end up back where we started.
It's a real possibility. To address these concerns, the students emphasized developing policies to protect workers.
Protect them from what?
From the encroachment of AI-driven surveillance.
What do those policies look like?
They advocated for regulations that prioritize human well-being and ensure workers maintain control over their data and work environments.
So putting some boundaries on what AI can track and monitor.
Yes, exactly. The students also emphasized the need for economic models that preserve worker agency.
What does that mean in practice?
It could involve exploring alternative forms of income generation, like universal basic income.
And how would that work with traditional jobs?
It would need to be coupled with opportunities for personal and professional development that go beyond traditional job structures.
So we're not just talking about handouts. We're talking about a whole new way of thinking about work and income.
That's the key takeaway. Automation should enhance human potential, not diminish it.
I like that. So it's not about stopping progress, but about making sure that progress benefits everyone.
Precisely. The work of these Parsons students gives us valuable insights into the potential futures we face.
It sounds like they've done a really thorough job of thinking through these different scenarios.
They have. They've highlighted not only the possibilities, but also the potential pitfalls of emerging technologies and trends.
It's a reminder that the future isn't set in stone.
Exactly. It's something we can actively shape through our choices and actions.
By thinking ahead and considering different possibilities.
Right. By engaging in critical thinking and exploring potential scenarios.
We can identify potential risks and opportunities and start working on solutions now.
The Parsons students' use of structured analytic techniques offers a valuable framework for thinking about the future.
And that's something anyone can use, right?
Absolutely. It can be applied to any field or industry.
So it's not just for designers or futurists.
No, not at all. Whether you're a designer, a policymaker, or simply a concerned citizen.
These techniques can help us imagine and create a better tomorrow.
Let's delve a little deeper into some of the specific examples and narratives the students developed.
Sure, let's start with the future of cities.
Okay, remember that scenario where corporations own and manage entire urban districts?
The subscription city.
Yes, they control access to housing, services, and even public spaces.
It raises that question of belonging in these urban spaces of the future.
Right, and one of the stories they created to illustrate that is about Mira in 2060.
Remind me about Mira again.
She finds herself locked out of certain neighborhoods because she forgot to renew her city subscription.
It's a powerful image of how privatization could lead to exclusion.
And how access could be determined by your ability to pay.
And then there's the last public library in 2075.
That fading symbol of community being auctioned off.
It highlights the potential loss of those shared spaces, those spaces of connection.
Places where people can come together regardless of their background or income.
These scenarios, though fictional, serve as powerful reminders of what's at stake.
They urge us to think critically about how we design and govern our cities.
Let's move on to the future of education. The students explored the implications of AI-driven personalized learning.
they acknowledge the potential benefits, but
they also raise concerns about potential downsides.
Right, like the loss of collective knowledge and the erosion of critical thinking skills.
They had that story about Theo.
Right, Theo. He grew up with an AI tutor and excelled in his chosen field.
But he struggled to think outside of his narrow area of expertise.
It highlights the risk of hyper-specialized education,
creating individuals who lack the breadth of knowledge and the critical thinking skills necessary to engage in complex issues.
Another scenario they explored is the emergence of a corporate curriculum,
where corporations control the content of education.
This raises concerns about corporate bias and the potential for education to serve corporate interests rather than the needs of society.
It's a reminder that who controls knowledge has a lot of power.
These narratives challenge us to consider the potential downsides of AI-driven education,
and to make sure technology serves to broaden rather than narrow our understanding of the world.
In the realm of fashion, the students examined how AI-generated design could reshape the industry.
And what were their key findings?
They acknowledged the potential for increased sustainability, but they also highlighted the potential loss of cultural craftsmanship and the risk of algorithmic fashion monopolies.
They had that story about Amara in 2075, right?
Yes, Amara. She relies on her AI fashion assistant to generate her daily outfits.
It seemed convenient, but
she also felt a sense of unease, like her personal style was being dictated by an algorithm.
It raises questions about the balance between personalization and genuine self-expression.
And the potential for AI to homogenize fashion to make everyone look and dress the same.
Then there's the scenario with the underground designers in 2060.
Rebelling against the dominance of AI by making clothes by hand.
A kind of return to traditional craftsmanship.
Exactly. It highlights the importance of preserving cultural heritage and the value of human creativity and craftsmanship.
It seems like a pushback against the over-optimization of everything.
These stories encourage us to think critically about the role of AI in fashion,
to make sure it enhances rather than erases human creativity and cultural diversity.
Finally, the students tackled the complex issue of the future of work.
In a world where automation is transforming industries,
they explored the potential implications for workers, society, and the very meaning of work.
One scenario they envisioned was the rise of the productivity police,
where AI systems constantly monitor workers, tracking their every move.
A world of constant surveillance.
It highlights the potential for increased surveillance and the erosion of worker autonomy.
And then there's the homemaker program,
where individuals are paid by the government to be full-time homemakers.
It raises those questions about agency and choice,
and about the potential reinforcement of traditional gender roles.
These scenarios are thought-provoking. They really make you question where we're headed.
They challenge us to think critically about the future of work,
and to design systems that prioritize human well-being, fairness, and opportunity.
The work of these Parsons students really demonstrates the power of structured thinking.
It helps us envision these possible futures.
Right, and to identify those potential risks and opportunities,
so we can start working on solutions now, before these things even happen.
Exactly. And their approach is something that anyone can use,
regardless of their field or background.
Yeah, if you want to have a meaningful conversation about the future,
and help shape a world that's more equitable, more sustainable.
Absolutely. I think we should consider the broader implications of what these students found.
And how can their insights inform our own thinking about the future?
Well, one key takeaway is that technology isn't neutral.
It's a reflection of the people who create it.
It really is. It's shaped by their values, their intentions. It's crucial that we engage in critical reflection,
and to think about the ethical implications of these new technologies.
Right, to ensure that they're designed and used in ways that align with our values, you know, not just for profit or control.
Another important insight is that the future isn't predetermined. It's not set in stone.
We have a say in it. The future is a product of the choices we make today.
So it's not about predicting the future, it's about shaping it.
Exactly. By engaging in foresight, by considering these different possible scenarios, we increase our agency.
We can actually influence the direction things go.
Yeah, to create the future we desire, not just the one that happens to us.
And their work also highlights the importance of collaboration, bringing different people together.
Oh, absolutely. Addressing these complex challenges like climate change or inequality or technological disruption,
it requires diverse perspectives and expertise.
Right. We need everyone. Designers, engineers, policymakers, social scientists.
It's not a problem any one group can solve on their own.
These projects by the Parsons students are a call to action, you know.
What can we do as individuals?
They remind us that we all have a role to play in shaping a future that's desirable, sustainable, and just.
It's about making conscious choices, considering the long-term consequences of our actions.
Their analysis really emphasizes the importance of proactive and thoughtful design to create a future that benefits all of humanity.
That's a great note to end on. In a future heavily shaped by AI and automation, how can we ensure that technology serves humanity rather than dictates it? It's something for all of us to think about, to consider how these potential futures might impact our own lives and choices. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.